Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Romans chapter 7. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me, for sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me. And through it, killed me. This is the text. Last week, I spoke about how we need to read the Bible in its greater context. The words of Jeremiah the prophet that we read, where he said, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived." That needs to be read in the greater context of Jeremiah's ministry. Remember, Jeremiah, he wasn't accusing God of acting underhandedly toward him. He's telling God that when he was appointed by God to be his prophet, that he didn't quite know the fullness of the job description. His ministry was not going to be easy. His life was going to be very uncomfortable. Sin hurts people. He would witness things and endure things that are unspeakable in mixed company. I kid you not, read Lamentations sometime. No prophet endured days like Jeremiah. We turn to Paul's words to the Romans. As a Pharisee, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was known then, he was very comfortable in the law of God, or what he perceived to be the law of God. Then Christ appears to him and reveals the true nature of God's word of law and gospel. And Paul says, the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. The commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. This is the same reality that Jeremiah was talking about last week. Oh Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. Again, this is not God acting underhandedly with Jeremiah or with Paul. It's just that early in their life, they didn't realize the fullness of what it meant to be within the kingdom of God. Jeremiah didn't understand the fullness of what it was going to be a prophet of God and what that was going to entail. Paul, as a Pharisee, as a keeper of the law, he didn't know the fullness of what that meant to be a keeper of the law. He thought that his righteous life within the religious community, as he has been raised up in the best of families, the best of schools, he was a pillar of the community, he was respected by all the Israelites, and he thought that made him right with God. But when God's law cut him to the heart, he says, sin came alive and I died. The law kills us. It divides us. It shows us how much sin hurts. The illusion that is presented in our world is that sin doesn't hurt you. That sin doesn't hurt your neighbor. The reality is something very different. Well, the good news in what Paul is bringing us today is that he speaks these words within the greater context of the book of Romans. And we have already heard back in Romans 6 how we died to sin. As we were crucified with Christ and buried with him in our baptism, our old Adam has already died with Christ in baptism you have already been raised to a new life in Christ, and we, as God's people, forgiven of all of our sin, having our sin buried and staying in that grave with Jesus, and then when he rose, that sin not coming back out with him, this being our reality, we wait now, forgiven and righteous in the sight of God, waiting for the final resurrection. This is our greater context. This is our reality. Christ brings life. God's word of salvation brings life. It's good news. Yet, God's word divides. Scripture says, even to the point of dividing joints and marrow. It is a double-edged sword, Scripture says. It gets to the heart of the issue. And Paul says, this is a good thing. Because back when I didn't think I was a sinner, that's when I was dead. But when the law came and killed me, then I experienced life. God's word promises life coming out of death. The law, it is not the problem. Paul says the law is good. The law does not cause division among us. Sin is the problem. Sin is what causes division. False teaching is what causes division. The gospel, baptism, the flesh and blood of Christ, that's what brings healing when we have been divided. You will not find healing anywhere else. It comes through Christ, through his word, joined with water, through the word made flesh, who still dwells among us as he comes to us under the form of bread and wine. This is our reality. This is our greater context. And this brings us to Jesus' words from our gospel reading today. The Gospel of Matthew has wonderful messages of promise and salvation. But we also hear Jesus speaking some of the harshest words that he spoke to, the Pharisees, to the people of Israel, to all of us. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is Jesus talking, a sword, like the one that divides joint and marrow, the two-edged sword of law and gospel of which Scripture speaks. He says, "I have come to set a man against his father and a mother against her daughter. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, this is not saying that you need to look at your family with diminished emotion, as if, oh, I will be a better Christian if I just have less concern for my parents or my wife or my children, and then commit myself solely to the Lord. Well, Paul is pretty clear in 1 Timothy that the prerequisite for me being a good pastor is that I have to be a good husband and father. He's immensely clear on that point. I can't shove my family away and say, oh, now I'm being a really good Christian because I love Jesus so much. That's not what our Lord is saying. What he is saying is that the truth of his word, it will divide households. There will be people within your family who do not receive the message of the cross and the empty tomb with the same joy or understanding as you. However, he says, if you are more concerned with what they think than what Jesus thinks, you're not worthy of Jesus. Then again, who among us is worthy of Jesus? That's the whole point. We are not worthy. We can't do anything that is worthy. We can't express love enough to be worthy. Again, as Jeremiah said, O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. This is harder than I ever imagined life in Christ would be. Or as Paul found out, his comfortable place within the kingdom of God, or what he thought was the kingdom of God, where he was before Christ called him to be his apostle, when the Lord said, I will show him how much he will suffer for the sake of the gospel. The comfort that Paul had in thinking that because of his place, because of his education, because of the good things that he was doing and his status in society, that he clearly was one of the righteous ones, he realized how much he was deceived. And then through the commandments, in which Paul had taken comfort in his early years, because of course he was a keeper of them, Paul says, sin deceived me, and through the commandments, killed me. That gets to the heart of Jesus' words. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The cross that we bear, the cross of which Jesus speaks, this is not some hardship or illness or loss of property or even loss of loved ones. Now, those issues are real, and those are burdens that we endure in this life. However, the cross of which Jesus speaks, it's the emptying of yourself. Jesus gets to the heart of our sinful condition. Faith has empty hands. The only thing that we can hold before him that shows our worthiness is our sin. Here are my sins, Jesus. This is what I have done, and I hate them. The only hope that I have is you and your cross. I have nothing that makes me worthy, except that in baptism, my old Adam was crucified with Christ, buried with him. My sins remained in that tomb, and I have been raised to a new life. You have been raised to a new life. This is what it is to be a forgiven child of God. Your worthiness is not something of your own. It has been given to you in Christ. This was Paul's new reality that he realizes after he understands what it is that God has done for him in Christ. This is our reality as baptized Christians. The commandments that I thought were saving me only pointed to my sin and showed me how sinful I am. Sin came alive and I died. In Christ. This is repentance leading to salvation. The promise of baptism is God's promise of death leading to life. You have died. You were buried with him. you have been raised to a new life. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.